Hi, everybody.
I'm Miley Lonnie.
And I'm Junie, and you're listening to Sustain Love and Kindness. In this podcast, we talk about why it's important to take care of our planet and how we can help.
This episode is dedicated to our Girl Scout Silver Award project. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. All right, everybody. The first thing that we're going to talk about is being kind to the earth. So I found this thing on Pinterest not too long ago, and it's this beautiful work of art. I'll read it to you now. I pledge of allegiance to the earth of our beloved solar system, and to all of her creatures, for here they dwell, one planet, united in harmony, with universal love and compassion for all. I thought this would go perfectly hand in hand with our podcast, Sustain Loving Kindness, because we're all about being kind. Now, I know most of you aren't always nice, but we're all human and we all make mistakes, so you're totally fine. But back to our podcast. This first season is all about being kind to the Earth, as well as her creatures. The pledge also says one planet. Think about that for a moment. We've only got one planet. Researchers and astronomers are looking with telescopes into other solar systems, trying to find another planet just like Earth. But unfortunately, there isn't one. That's why we need to take action by saving the Earth right now. Do you have anything to add to that, Junie?
Yeah, you've pretty much covered it, but I agree, as Miley Lonnie said, we only have one planet, so we need to take care of it. Okay, so I'm going to kick off the podcast by talking about trash. Trash in general. So what is trash? Because we all know, we've all heard in school, you know, try your best to reduce your trash, but why? Why is trash bad? Well, I'm going to start off by talking about the manufacturing process of plastic in particular. So how is plastic made? Well, right off the bat, plastic is made in a huge factory. Now, I'm sure we all know factories are really bad for the environment because they release bad toxins that we as humans breathe and have to live in. So that on its own is already really bad for the environment. So before we've even thrown anything away, pretty much before it's even made, it's already causing pollution in the air. So, as I said about the toxins, these workers that are working in the factories are being exposed to these toxins even worse than us, than we are, because they are right up in the factories breathing it. Now, I'm sure they're wearing masks and protection, but still, you can imagine it's pretty darn bad. So these toxic fumes get released into the air for us to breathe. And it's even worse when you recycle plastic. Now, I'm sure you've all heard about how, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, as recycling is better. And it is, but not always, because when plastic is recycled, it gets melted down. And then, as you can imagine, have you ever smelled the smell of like melting plastic? Or maybe you moved your pot too close to the stove and the fire, you know, burnt the little handle or the rubber spatula. Have you ever smelled that? Well, it smells pretty bad. And imagine those toxins and those just bad fumes are getting released into the air for us all to breathe all the time in these factories. So that's a little bit about that. Once it's all melted down, it just gets like molded and then taken to wherever people are going to use it, whether that's a plastic water bottle to fill up with water and get resold then. And I'm sure there's a lot of driving around this plastic, which sounds kind of funny, but if you think about it, the factories that make the plastic probably aren't going to then also well, they are going to sell the plastic, but they're not going to store it at their factories forever. They get shipped to a reseller, and then when somebody buys something from that reseller, it gets shipped to that person, and so on and so forth, which, again, air pollution, as we all know about trucks and delivery trucks, especially because they're always driving. So now we're gonna jump straight to the end of the plastic lifestyle, or the trash life cycle. When you've used it and it's time to throw it away. So where does it go? What happens when you throw something away? Well, I'm sure, as you know, when you throw something away in the garbage truck, in the garbage can, then a garbage truck typically comes and picks it up, puts it in their truck, and then dumps it into what is called a landfill. I'm sure you've heard of a landfill before, but I'll explain a little bit of it for those of you who don't know. So a landfill is basically a big, huge, ginormous ditch in the ground full of trash. I like to say it's basically a trash swimming pool full of garbage. So on the way to the landfill, imagine this. A big gush of wind comes and blows a couple pieces of trash out of the truck, which is sure to happen. I've seen it happen before myself when plastic or trash in general gets blown out of trucks quite often, and then it goes into oceans or sidewalks, or that's a big cause of litter. When you see litter, sometimes, yes, it is people just throwing trash on the floor, but a lot of times it is trash getting blown out of these garbage trucks. So once it gets to the landfill, they dump it out and it is basically never seen again. They don't do anything to it. They just leave it there to ideally decompose. But it doesn't always decompose. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that later, but I'm going to give you some examples about how long some kinds of trash takes to decompose. So a disposable plastic water bottle in the ideal climate takes between 450 to 1,000 years to decompose. And if you don't know what decompose means, that basically just means breaks down and like kind of molds into dirt, turns into dirt, basically. Just kind of disappears. So a plastic straw takes about 200 years, and a styrofoam takeout container takes 500 years plus to break down. That means at least 500 years. And I'm sure you've heard me mention the ideal climate. Well, what does the ideal climate mean? I'm sure it's kind of confusing and I'm sure it sounds weird. So when I say the ideal climate, I am talking about the environment that this trash lives in. So in order for a piece of, I'll just use plastic as an example. In order for a piece of plastic to break down successfully and quickly, it needs to have plenty of airflow, plenty of oxygen, and it needs to be the right temperature. We're not sure exactly what temperature that is, but not too hot, but definitely not too cold. So can you imagine how I just said up to, 1,000 years plus? That's in the ideal climate. So that's if the environment that this trash is in is perfect for things to break down. Can you imagine how long it would take for something for a piece of trash to break down that's in like the bottom of the pile at the landfill? Because these trucks, they just dump it out and it just gets piled higher and higher and higher. So a piece of trash, or trash that's at the bottom of these piles and these mounds, they will take so much longer to decompose because they don't have oxygen flow. They're suffocating, is what we say. So it takes even longer to decompose. That is, if it even ever decomposes. So now that I've talked about that a little bit, I'm going to talk about what happens when a landfill gets filled up. Now, I've actually just learned about this myself a little while ago, doing research for this episode, because I did not know. I mean, I knew that obviously landfills have to get filled up. The hole doesn't just get bigger and bigger, but I didn't know exactly what happens. So this is basically what happens. So when a landfill gets filled up, a layer of clay gets placed over it, covering any air bubbles, any holes, and making it a flat surface. And then, on top of that, a thick layer of plastic gets laid over that. And then, on top of that, dirt gets placed over it and plants, so that we could never know it was a landfill. So, as you can imagine, like, you, if you're just like walking through a park with, you know, dirt and plants, you could actually be walking on top of what I call a garbage swimming pool, which is honestly really sad, and it's kind of crazy to think about. And as I mentioned before, with the, you know, lack of oxygen flow, when something's sealed off like that and filled with clay and plastic, there is absolutely zero oxygen getting down there. Even worse, when you cover something with clay and plastic, those things aren't breathable. So it will just, you know, never decompose or take, you know, a really long time. Okay, so now I briefly mentioned, you know, trash getting into oceans and, you know, our environment. I'm going to talk a little bit about the consequences, the side effects, how that will affect us, how that is affecting us. So when a piece of plastic, in particular, I'm going to use plastic as an example quite often. So it gets into the ocean, and then sea animals, I'll use a fish, will swim up to it and think it's food or think it's interesting, or even just, or even maybe they won't even care. They'll just eat it. And then, as you can imagine, it suffocates them. And then they die. Or if that doesn't happen, they can get trapped. Some examples that we've seen are those six-pack soda cans, the little plastic like carton thingy that holds them together. Animals get trapped in that, and they won't be able to get out. And then maybe a baby gets trapped in it, and the baby keeps growing and growing and growing, but the part of its body that's stuck in one of those little rings can't grow because it's stuck, and then they'll be all deformed and weird looking, and I'm sure it's painful. So basically, it's bad. That's pretty much the consensus on that, if consensus is the right word. I'm not really sure. But just, you know, things like that. An animal could die from it, or an animal could get trapped in it. But even just living in it, I mean, would you really want to like live in an environment with that's just filled with plastic and trash and garbage and styrofoam, and the list goes on and on and on? I don't know about you, but I definitely would not. But unfortunately, that is what our world is coming to. With, there's so much, new beauty products, for example. There's a new makeup palette coming out every single day. But I know that there are extreme consequences when you just get those things that are very disposable. So what I was going to say is that with all these new, there's always garbage everywhere. You use garbage everywhere. So it has been found out that it's been proven, is what I should say, that by the year 2050, 50, which is less than 30 years away from the time that we're recording this, the ocean will have more plastic and more garbage in it than creatures, than live creatures, which is so sad to think about because, I mean, you can imagine, I don't have to explain, just going to the beach and instead of seeing like, you know, a fish or a jellyfish swim up to the ocean, you see like a plastic bag. I mean, are you kidding me? Like that's pretty disgusting and that's pretty sad to think about. So this is why we are trying to spread awareness with this podcast to try to help prevent things like that from happening. So getting into garbage just a little bit more. I mentioned that there's garbage everywhere and I want to explain that a little bit more. So what I mean by that is it's pretty darn hard to go through your day without making trash. And I'll give you some examples. So when you go to the grocery store, you pick up a head of lettuce that's covered in plastic, and then you go to the checkout and the cashier scans it and puts it in a plastic bag, and then you pay for it with a plastic card, and then they give you a receipt. Now, that is already so much waste happening. Like, why does a head of lettuce need to be covered in lettuce? Why does a head of lettuce have to be covered in a plastic? I just don't know. It's probably for sanitary purposes, but everybody washes lettuce, so I don't know. It's pretty frustrating and it's pretty sad, but some other examples are for lunch. If you try to do a good thing and pack lunch instead of eating out, then you get a couple baby carrots out of that plastic bag, put them in another plastic bag, and maybe even wrap your sandwich in Saran wrap and then eat that and then throw the plastic away. I'm sure you can imagine, but just things like that are pretty crazy how much waste there is, to be honest with you. And, you know, kids' toys, so much plastic going into kids' toys, trash bags, which, you know, there's a plastic trash bag is where you throw away your plastic. So there's even more trash involved when you throw away trash, which is so wild. And as I mentioned before, beauty products and even just simple things like bathing and dental hygiene. There's so much waste that goes on when you even take a shower. I mean, where do you keep your liquid shampoo? In a plastic bottle. Your conditioner, plastic bottle. Even body wash, a plastic bottle. Like, there's so much going on, and toothpaste and so on and so forth. I can talk your ear off, but I'll try not to. So okay, so just one more thing, I promise. So there have been studies that show that the average amount of waste, of trash, garbage, that a individual, so that's one person, produces each day, so every single day, the average is 6 pounds of garbage per person per day. That's the average. So that means that some people make less, but some people make even more than 6 pounds of garbage every single day. Now, you can do the calculations, how much that is in a week, in a month, and in a year. And that sure is a lot of garbage. So transitioning from that, Lonnie and I are going to discuss the opposite of that, which is a lifestyle called zero waste.
Yeah, so I've had some pretty crazy experiences with going zero waste myself. Now, I mean, just because it has the word zero in it doesn't necessarily mean absolutely no trash. It just means reducing your amount of waste to a smaller size. Now, before my family and I tried it out, we only threw away about one large trash bag a week. And my mom decided we should reduce that to one large mason jar of trash a week. A mason jar is like the size of a jar of pasta sauce. We stopped buying packaged foods and we made our own stuff like bread and granola bars. So Junie and I are both from Southern California, and my mom and I would go to this place in Ocean Beach called People's Co-op. And it was completely zero waste, and it was really awesome. There were bulk containers, as well as pumps for syrup and honey, and even one for shampoos. You had to bring your own reusable containers, and the store themselves even sold some. And at the register, they would weigh your jars of bulk or whatever it is you bought. And then if you had to write your jar's weight in the bottom with a Sharpie or something, and then they would take out that number from the actual weight so that, you know, because plastic bags, they don't weigh anything, so they don't have to do any math. But if you use a jar, those are obviously really heavy. So they just do the math, and then they get the right weight, and you didn't waste anything at all. Junie, you had something to say about bulk, right?
Yeah, so like Maiolani, I also have experience with going zero waste. I'm actually on my way of being more zero waste because it's very gradual, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But as Maiolani mentioned, bulk. So you may have heard that term used before, and it is a term used to describe a way of purchasing food, a way of buying groceries. So bulk is basically buying your food in large quantities, which, well, okay, so there are different definitions of bulk. But when I first heard about bulk, I have, as well as my Alani, we have huge families of six. So my family always shopped at Costco to buy groceries. So when I first heard about bulk, I just figured it was, you know, like what we buy at Costco, just food in very large quantities. So I was very confused. So, well, for example, like a 16 pack of bar soap, or you could buy 15 pounds of flour, things like that. And I was very confused when I first heard about it. I was like, well, how is that, or why is that any better than just buying it, you know, in a smaller version? And then I learned that bulk actually, well, when we refer to bulk, we refer to it as a different way of buying your groceries. So not just in larger quantities, it's different. And I'll explain that a little bit further. So when you walk in, I don't know if you've ever been in a store like Sprouts or Whole Foods, but if you have, you'll see those barrels in the front of the store, sometimes in the middle of the store. And if you've ever wondered what those are what we call bulk barrels. So they have, say, for example, I'll use almonds. It'll be a huge barrel full of loose, package-free almonds. So they'll have a little roll of plastic bags, thin plastic bags that you can scoop. Say you wanted 4 ounces of almonds. You can scoop however many you think 4 ounces of almonds is. Then they'll have a scale. You can weigh it and take some out or add some to get the right weight. And then you'll tie it up, bring it to the cashier or the checker, and they will weigh it, charge you for however much that weight was, and you can be on your way without making as much waste as if you were to buy like a prepackaged pack of almonds. But there is another way of buying bulk. Well, getting another place to put your bulk, if you will. I'm having a hard time finding my words today. But those are cotton bags or mesh bags. I use cotton. So I made myself some reusable cotton bags, and what I do is I take them to the bulk bins and I weigh as many almonds as I want. Just as an example, there are countless amounts of, there's a numerous amount of different bulk ingredients, if you will. Dry goods, mostly dry goods. Not a lot of liquids, but not just almonds, if you are confused. But you can, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so I get my bag and then put my almonds straight in there, the same process, but then when I take it home, I can dump my almonds out into a little glass jar and then wash my bag and reuse it. That's the key, I can reuse it. You cannot really reuse those plastic bags, but I can reuse my cotton bags as many times as I like. So that is what we talk about, that's what we mean when we talk about bulk.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, Junie said that she made these bags, and I know that takes a lot of time to make. And a lot of people really don't want to go zero waste because it's really time consuming. And not only does it take up a lot of time, but it's also way cheaper to just buy the plastic stuff rather than spend a whole bunch of money on the reusable ones. And I totally understand both of those excuses. For example, when we made bread, you had to buy a specific type of flour and bread pan that, of course, you could reuse. And they don't sell that everywhere. I mean, I don't even know where we got it. I think we got it on Amazon or something. And then, besides the pan, then you had to make the dough by hand using a specific type of flour that is only sold in bulk. And then you gotta knead the dough with a rolling pin. Then you gotta put it in the pan, leave it for a few hours to, like, grow, I guess. Then you gotta bake it, and then you slice it before it's even ready to eat. Whereas if you went to Costco or Vons or Natural Grocers or whatever it is you shop, you can walk into the pastry aisle, grab a bag of 2 pre-sliced loaves of bread, take it home and eat it. You have no idea how much work it is to make even just 1 loaf of bread. And in my large family of 6, that loaf was gone fast. Now I know a lot of you are probably thinking, oh, zero waste, this sounds really cool, but I don't really have the time for this, and my family, we throw away about a trash bag a day. And I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need to do it all out right away. You don't need to go from 5, 6, or maybe even 1 or 2 trash bags a day to a whole jar of trash a year. You totally do not need to do that. I mean, say you do a bag of trash a day. You could start reducing that to a bag of trash every 3 days. And then eventually a bag of trash a week, or a bag of trash a month. I mean, just, you don't have, you can take these little baby steps to, you know, eventually make your way to the jar of trash if that's what your goal is. If your goal is to get to at least one bag of trash a week, then that's perfectly fine. At least you are actually doing something. And then also, doing this zero wasting, it's actually a lot healthier for you. And I know you may be thinking, what's trash got to do with healthy? And the thing is, when you go to the store, like say 7-Eleven or something, they've got shelves and shelves and shelves of individually packaged potato chips or Cheetos or Funyuns or whatever it is you want to get. And, I mean, you're like, oh yeah, I love these chips, but also, you can't exactly make those at home. I mean, you can, but it's really time-consuming. The ingredients to buy those, they're also probably prepackaged. So I went to my friend's house one time, and they just started going vegetarian. And her mom was actually making pita chips. And this took her a lot of time to do, but in the end, they were really good. And they're way healthier than the regular old potato chip. So whatever your alternatives are to, you know, say potato chips, if you decide, you know what, I'm not going to use these individual bags anymore, I'm just going to make my apple chips or banana chips or whatever it is. And it's healthy for you, and it's healthy for the planet, so it's a win-win.
Yeah, so I would like to add something real quick about what my Leilani said before about, you know, not doing it all at once. A lot of people, including myself, when they first start out, think that they have to do it all in one day, meaning they have to make absolutely zero trash starting this first day that they even think about it, or the first day that they're starting this new lifestyle. I was one of those people, and I was very discouraged when I first started because I am human and humans make a lot of trash by nature. So I had to figure out how the heck I was going to go from making, well, I've never weighed how much trash, but I'm just going to go off by the average, how I was going to go from making 6 pounds of trash per day to no trash per day in a day. So I found out for myself, after a lot of time, that the best way for myself to do it, and I strongly recommend this to you guys, and I can make a kind of a calendar about this, or a Instagram post to show you guys kind of a schedule. So each month I was going to eliminate another area of waste and swap it out with a, well, zero waste option. So for example, 1 month I did dental hygiene. So I decided that that month I was going to learn how to make no trash in the dental hygiene area. So I swapped out my disposable plastic toothbrush for for bamboo toothbrushes. You still have to reuse them, but they're compostable instead of plastic. And I swapped out my plastic toothbrush toothpaste tube for these little dehydrated toothpaste tablets that come in a little stainless steel jar that is reusable, and you just refill it when that's empty. And I switched out my floss for compostable natural silk floss that comes in a little glass jar. So that all happened within the course of a month. So I gave myself a month to get used to doing that before I had to learn another area to eliminate. And every month I did something different until I was as eco-friendly as I could be, and I'm still working on it. So that's what I recommend doing.
Yeah. So now that we've talked about zero waste, the next thing we're going to talk about is garbage patches. When I was first given this research assignment back in the fifth grade, I assumed it was like a giant Halloween pumpkin patch, only with garbage. I was soon to learn that I was completely wrong, and that these patches are actually the size of Texas, or larger, and are collecting in the ocean. And you might ask, why are there giant patches of trash just collecting in the ocean? Or you might even asking, what in the world are you talking about? The ocean's completely clean. Well, the ocean is not clean, and the reason for this is the currents. And for those of you who live near a beach or some other large body of water, you should know what these are. But for those of you who don't, it's an invisible force similar to wind that pulls things out into the sea. You know how wind can carry like a balloon or something out into the sky. These currents or riptides pull things out into the middle of the ocean, and they don't bring them back to shore. And somewhere in the middle of the ocean, these currents all meet in one general area. And the trash that gets littered into the waters are then carried out into that area, and they stay there forever. And like Junie said earlier about how long things take to decompose, these things will just stay here and harm marine life, and even ships or boats that stray onto that path. The biggest garbage patch in the world is the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. No one knows how big it really is, but even if we knew, that number would be increasing rapidly every day due to the amount of littering that everybody does. And my estimate is that it's roughly twice the size of Texas, the second largest state in the U.S. There's many different garbage patches in every ocean, but the biggest one is in the Pacific Ocean. For those of you who'd like to do further research on the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, I'll tell you about this movie you should watch. Plastic Paradise is a documentary I've seen a couple of times, and it's about the garbage patches. It was created by Angela Sun and was very, very informative, and I highly recommend this to everyone. They talked about the garbage patches, and they even interviewed people. They're like, oh, when you throw away your trash, where does it go? And they're like, oh, it goes in the landfills. And they're like, well, what happens to it? And they're like, I don't know, I just throw it away and forget about it. And I definitely, definitely recommend that you guys watch this. Once again, it's called Plastic Paradise. And then finally, I'd like to mention the ocean made of trash by year 2050. I know Junie mentioned this earlier. A report made by the Ellen MacArthur Foundation says that the trash in the ocean will outnumber the organisms living there. There will be over 937 million tons of garbage and only 895 million tons of fish. So, in reality, that's at least 42 million more tons of trash than all the fish in the ocean. On a final note, I'd like to let you all know that littering is actually considered a crime, and you'll be fined a significantly large amount of money if you're caught. So please, please, please don't do it for your own sake and for our planet's sake. Now, speaking of littering, the last thing we're going to talk about is COVID-19 trash. And whenever we're going on walks and stuff, like, I have a dog, so I have to take him out all the time because otherwise he'll start barking at me. And when I take him out, I see masks just littered everywhere. They're all over the place.
Yeah, so I, like my Lulani, I also have dogs. So I also take them out, and we live in two very different places. She lives quite far. Well, she's actually... they're road tripping right now, so they're very far away from us, and they see a lot of masks where they are. And I live in San Diego, and I also see so many masks. And my mom's a runner, so she says whenever she's out on her run, she always sees just so many masks. So we are going to talk about a quick alternative to disposable masks. But first, I'd like to talk about disposable masks just a little bit. So these, like, blue disposable masks, they are supposedly made out of paper, right? Well, I actually have evidence to prove otherwise. So my dad's a contractor, and so, of course, before the pandemic even happened, he was always wearing these masks to protect him from the dust. So he one day, now this is pretty weird. I have a pretty weird dad, so I don't know why he decided to do this, but he decided to hold his mask out in front of him, flat, and pour some water on top of it. And nothing seeped through. It just pulled up on top of it. Nothing fell through the other end, which is honestly so, like, weird to think about. Because that basically means that it's not plastic. I mean, sorry, that it's not paper. Because if you've ever experimented with paper, you know that whenever it gets wet, it gets all, like, mushy and, like, ruined. Like, okay, here's an example. If you've ever been, like, running to class in the rain and your books get all, like, wet and then your pages get that, like, texture on them, because that's water damage from the rain. So that didn't happen to this mask. It just stayed the same. So that basically means that these masks are not made out of paper. They're made out of some kind of plastic synthetic fiber material, which basically means that's even worse for the environment. So our alternative that we found works fantastic for us and our lifestyles are reusable cotton masks. And you might be thinking, reusable, ew, gross, those are right by your mouth. But that's why I recommend having about 2 to 3 per person, because as the disposable ones are, these are also, they should be single use. So that means that if you're out running errands, you can wear it all day, but then when you get home, you, instead of throwing it away, you wash it. So I wash my masks by hand. And then that's why I recommend having 2 or 3 so that if the next day you have to go out while your mask is in the wash, you can have that one. And they're fresh, clean, and completely reusable. And my Lani has something to talk about as well, I think, about a different kind of mask.
Yeah, so most of you people, most of you guys, you all have masks, obviously, because, you know, it's the law now, but a lot of you have the ones that go right behind the ear, and these are actually really uncomfortable, and they also, everybody wears them, and a lot of us want to stand out from the crowd. And I have this really cool mask that I got. My mom bought it for me. It's really cool. It looks like a scarf, kind of, but you can't wrap it around you. It's it wraps around itself. It's made that way, kind of like a shirt or something. Like, you can't undo it. You just pull it over your head, and it can work as a mask. It can work as a headband. It can work as a scarf. It has so many different uses, and I actually think that this is a better alternative because whenever this COVID thing ends, you can still use it. Like, whenever you're out on a camping trip or something and you need a headband or a scarf or something, and they come in all sorts of different designs. They look really cool, and they also qualify as a mask.
Yeah, that's a fantastic alternative because, well, it's even more eco-friendly than the reusable cotton ones because hopefully this pandemic will not last forever. So eventually, when you don't need to wear masks outside, you can still use it. You don't have to throw it away.
Final recap. All right, so in this episode, we touched on the Pledge of Allegiance to the Earth, why trash is a really, really bad thing, what zero waste is, and our own experiences with it, Great Pacific Garbage Patch, and trash during COVID. If there's anything else that you want to hear, let us know by DMing us on Instagram. Our Instagram is Sustain Loving Kindness Podcast. All right. We just started it. It's brand new, just launched it. Please.
Yes, we would love to hear all your guys' feedback. So, once again, you can DM us on Instagram at Sustain Loving Kindness Podcast. That's SustainLovingKindnessPodcast on Instagram. And there are no underscores or spaces between those words. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode and learned a little something. Subscribe to stay tuned. We post every week. And in the next episode, Miley, Lonnie, and I will be talking a little bit about our backgrounds and why we started this podcast and why it's important to us. And there is plenty more interesting content coming up every week. We love you guys so much and have a wonderful day. Bye.